Good morning to each one. Greetings in Christ's name. Well, welcome to each of you. Glad for our visitors. Robert and his wife, welcome. I think maybe Miranda's here as well. Glad for each of you here. May we together worship the Lord. It is a privilege that we have to do this. Let's not forget that. And I've been blessed by being here already this morning. This morning I would like to speak to you about, well, the title for the message this morning is Doors of Opportunities. Doors of Opportunities. This morning we would say that we are God's people. We are human. We are living in a land that is free. We are vibrant. We can think. We can see. We can taste. We can smell. We have a lot of opportunity in all of these things. I want to talk about that this morning. The message, I guess, is born out of my own need because I am a procrastinator by nature, I guess you could say. Just ask my family. They would probably agree with that. I procrastinate. We probably all, in a sense, some of us more than others, probably deal with that. But I want to do this. I want to do that. I intend to do this. And I intend to do that. I intend to do many things. But guess what? Somehow it seems like there's a lot of things that I intend to do that I don't get done. How many of you can identify with that? Probably most of us. There's a statement that A.W. Tozer made just before he passed away. A.W. Tozer, we would look at as a man of God. He wrote a lot. He presented the truths of God in many ways, and he made this statement before he died. I'm not so concerned about the sins of commission or the sins that I have committed, but I am worried about the sins of omission. In other words, the sins that he had committed, those were taken care of. Those were covered by the blood. But he was worried about the sins of things that he didn't do, the sins of omission. Think about that. A man that it seems like he did a lot of good. We all have the desire to do good. Certainly we do. We would all say that. We have the desire to do good. Be an active person doing what God wants us to do. So the sins of omission, in other words, the things I didn't do, the opportunities I didn't take to do good. For an opening scripture, turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. Desire your prayers this morning as we look into God's word. Say the things that need to be said and not say things that shouldn't be said. Galatians chapter 6. This was right after he talked about sowing to the flesh. Let's read verses 9 and 10. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. This is a well-known scripture. Not a new thought. So a couple comments on this scripture. Then we'll go on. Well-doing speaks of a general lifestyle of values and practices that result from living in the kingdom of God. Let's think about it in that way. Well-doing. General lifestyle of values and practices that result from living in the kingdom of God. It says, let us not be weary in well-doing. Don't become tired of that. I think these two terms, well-doing and doing good, could be interchanging here, interchangeable. And the thing that I would like to especially look at in today's message is the the window or door of opportunity that we have to serve God, serve others in ways that maybe we overlook because of our own selfishness and because of our procrastination. Let's think about that. Because of our lacking in seeing it as an opportunity, a door of opportunity. One thing that I am concerned about for me is that too many times in the Christian life, it seems like we're here out of a sense of duty. Do you ever feel that way? I believe the tendency is there, that we're here out of a sense of duty. I need to do this. I need to do that. That is what I really need to do. This is the responsibility of the child of God, a Christian, a brother in the church, if you will. It becomes almost a thing of where we have to do it. And I'd like to challenge us to look at those things as doors of opportunity. Many times I have missed opportunities that I wish I would have taken. We have all undoubtedly experienced many times where we saw things that we could or should have done. Most of us would probably say we've been there. That's a pretty common thing. I wish I would have done this. We do that in in everyday things. Sometimes when we are driving down the road and we are looking for a place to stop, to get something to eat. We can't see. Here's the exit, but we can't see. Nothing must be here. And as soon as we get past the exit, oh, there's a Zips or there's a McDonald's, whatever. I wish I would have stopped there. Well, I didn't know that. That's just normal. Again, for me personally, looking at it from a procrastinator's point of view, that happens way too many times. This morning for us as Christians, lordship to Jesus Christ brings everything under new management. Let's remember that as we go through this. This morning for us as Christians, that is the way it is. The lordship of Jesus Christ brings everything under new management. Everything. And so when everything comes under new management, that means that everything that we do is for the Lord or under God's direction. I think we do well to look at life and opportunities through the eyes of our Savior Jesus Christ. Let's try to do that. At the core of this subject is a heart and spirit that has been delivered from the chains of self. That's where I trust that we find ourselves as God's children, delivered from focusing on pleasing ourselves and protecting ourselves. This is not something that is subject to your level of education. This thing of doors of opportunities is not subject to levels of education, financial status, gender, whatever. But it is rooted in the responsive and changing motives generated by the regeneration and renewing of our minds. We find that in Romans 12, verse 2. Can someone recite that? Anyone? Romans 12, 2. Thank you. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what? By the renewing of your mind. We need that transformed mind in order to see things God's way. And we need the touch of God, the inspiration of Jesus Christ to help in that. Okay, I'd like to talk now about identifying opportunities, the door of opportunity. Now, again, the burden is to develop the ability to see doors of opportunity. Opportunity means it is a good occasion or a chance, if you please. So whenever there is an occasion to do something, we have an opportunity. That is an opportunity. Opportunities are similar to dreams. Think about dreams. They're gone before we know it. Did you ever think about that? You dream about a certain thing and suddenly you find yourself right in the middle of it. And before you know it, the dream is past. It's gone. You did that thing and it's gone. It's become a memory. You look back at it now. That's a little maybe how opportunity is. And we have an opportunity to reach into people's lives. And then all of a sudden, the opportunity, before we know it, the opportunity is past and gone. And that's, I guess, my burden. The doors, the windows of opportunity, we need to take them. As God opens those doors of opportunity, those windows of opportunity, if you please, we need to take them and walk through the door. We have windows here in this room. Can you imagine how this church house would be without any windows, without any doors? It'd be useless, wouldn't it? Yeah, it'd be useless. We couldn't even get inside. Well, that is how I want to look at this subject of opportunity. It is a door. Again, A.W. Tozer said, I'm not so concerned about the sins I committed, I'm concerned about the sins of things omitted. So I would like to look a bit, before we go into the rest of the message, what are the sins of omission? What are the things that we may miss? What are some things that we may miss? And as I pondered that, I thought of times that I pushed things off. You know what they are in your life. I know what some of those are in my life. For my family, for my personal life, for study. You know, study doesn't necessarily come real easy for me. It's easy to put it off. I've heard it said already that we should always be studying something. Why? Because we love the Word of God. It's an opportunity that we have to do that. What if I would miss something important simply by not studying the Scriptures? That's possible. James 4 speaks to that. There's a startling verse there. Let's just turn to that. James chapter 4, verse 17. James 4, verse 17. Familiar verse. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Wow. That's pretty serious, isn't it? I believe this is what Tozer was referring to when he made the statement that he did. We think of things we don't do because they are wrong. And we feel good about that. But what about going from the defense to the offense? Do we use the Word of God as a defense, or do we use it as an offense? What if the Spirit of God moves upon your heart to speak sometime when someone is talking bad about, marriage, for example? When someone is putting down their wife and making light of marriage, why don't we say something? Maybe you do. Why don't we say something? There is a window of opportunity that we have to speak about godly marriages. What about when we hear bad language? Someone making a mockery of God's word. Let's bring it a little bit closer. What about all the comments we hear about our government? Derogatory comments. Maybe about our governor in particular. Do we laugh? Do we agree and join right in? Maybe we stand there and say nothing. What about when we're standing in the checkout line at Safeway and we are hearing about how stupid it is to have to wear masks? This is ridiculous. Do we agree and join right in? Or do we take it as an opportunity to witness for Christ about following the laws, the things that are laid out? Or do we just stand there and say nothing? That's what I'm talking about. These are doors of opportunities that God places within us, before us, that I, for myself, fail to step through so many times. And that's, this message is to me, and it spoke to needs in my life, and I share it with you. Now I do understand, God does not always want us to say something. I agree with that. We need to mind the Spirit. We need to understand that. But oftentimes we miss those doors of opportunities because we are just too scared. We're afraid to say what we should. What's that verse again? Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. Turn to that. This is a little bit the negative side of this message. Matthew 23, verse 23. Says this, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ye ought to have done, and not to leave the other undone." We can do a lot of good things on the outside, a lot of right things, but God sees our heart. And he sees when we do things out of duty or when we do them out of a desire to please him. And we do it because of our faith, the faith in our life. Matthew 25, over just a couple of chapters. This is one that we all have read many times. This is a scene where they were before the judgment seat and he separated them as sheep and goats. Verse 41. "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer to him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. The sin of omission." Pondering these verses, I guess, helped me to kind of see a deeper side of this whole thing of opportunity. How many times have I been okay with what we just read here in these verses? Well, I should have. Yes, I should have. Help that person. Talk to that individual. Here it actually cost them their place in glory. That is how serious it was. Luke chapter 12, verse 47. "And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes." So that puts the ball back in our court again. When we know what we are supposed to do and we don't do it, it says we are going to be judged by that. And so we have a door of opportunity to reach out to someone, to speak to someone, to show mercy to someone, to listen to someone. We don't see it as an opportunity. Maybe we just see it as an event in life and we go right on and we miss it. This morning, let's rise to the challenge. The Bible does say if there was an opportunity for us to do good and we don't do it, it becomes sin to us. Missing opportunities can mean life or death for all of us. Moving on. We've talked about the door. We've mentioned the word door a number of times, a door of opportunity. Do you know what door actually means? I found this interesting. The definition of door is a means of access or participation. In the dictionary, it says opportunity. I did not know that when I chose this title. And so the definition for door is actually opportunity, doors of opportunity. There are a couple of scriptures that I'd like to turn to that talk about doors. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. First Corinthians 16, the Apostle Paul was writing here, verses 8 and 9. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. We won't take the time to see what all that means, but Paul saw an open door here, and he took the opportunity. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord. Okay, let's turn to Colossians. Colossians chapter 4. Let's read verses 1 through 3. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance. Remember those words? To speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. I guess I was going to stop with verse 3. But Paul was saying, we want to be able to speak the truth of God's word. Lord, give me a door of utterance. Now I wonder what would happen if you and I would do that daily. I do that. I try to do that. And I'm sure you do that as well. We pray and ask God to direct everything that we do in a day. But how many opportunities have we let go? Have we let pass by because we were not paying attention? I wasn't seeing it as a door of opportunity. To us, maybe it was just, again, another event in life. Paul here prayed for a door of utterance. And I think we should be praying for a door of opportunity to present the gospel to every man, whether it is in a bag of food, buying that needy person a meal, whether it is a gospel tract, whether it is talking about the bad language that we just heard, whether it's the conversation that we heard in the checkout line, whatever it is, I think we should be praying for those doors of opportunity and keeping our eyes open for those doors of opportunity. Praying for that door of utterance. Just a few scriptures yet here. Looking at Jesus the door. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 9. Jesus' own words here. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. I am the door. That means two things. The entrance into salvation through Jesus Christ. And that is often where we stop. I'm now a Christian. I've given my heart to the Lord. I'm saved. I took care of my past sins. This morning, that is only the door. That is only the door into the kingdom of God. He wants us to do so much more for Him. And we should see every person, every event in life, we should be looking at, is there an opportunity here for me to present Jesus? Jesus is the door to salvation. The door to God. He is the door to true freedom. We could name a whole host of things. The door to peace. The door to healing. The door to forgiveness. The door to love. The door to victory. Fulfillment. Wisdom. Relationships. Courage. And the list could go on and on. What Jesus is in that door. Now, as we look at what Jesus did for us, if somehow we could even get a bit of the burden that Jesus had, somehow the eyes of Jesus, I believe if we could do that, we would start seeing a whole lot of opportunities. Those opportunities would open up all around us. And I'm not saying we don't do these things, but it's a challenge to me. I don't think I'm doing these things enough. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. My thought in that was, if we are looking for opportunities, we are going to find them. They are just like the newness of the day. Well, a few other thoughts here yet, and kind of bringing this together or drawing it to a close. If we are stuck in the rut of have to, remember we talked a little bit about that, we will miss untold opportunities. Untold opportunities. If we are stuck in the rut of I have to do this, I have to do that, we feel that weighty responsibility of being a Christian and all the good things that go along with that, I think we have the wrong picture. I think it should be a joy. I think it should be an opportunity. You know, if we are consuming technology, earthly possessions, money, pleasures, upon our own desires and lusts, then I believe we will find ourselves with the crowd that Jesus said to in Matthew 25, where he said, "Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I said unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of these, ye did it not to me." This morning, let's repent of all this and allow Jesus, the door, to help us see the incredible opportunities that are all around us. In personal faithfulness, just a few things here. We need to be faithful. We need to have that integrity in our heart that we will not sin. We will not walk in sin. We will not lie. We will not allow ourselves to become deceived. We will be true. We will be pure. We will be clean. That is on a personal level. We have an opportunity. We also have an opportunity to help in organized functions. There are mission projects. There are work projects. There are so many things we can do in the brotherhood right here. There are so many things that we can do. Remember one of our opening verses in Galatians 6. How did it say there again? I believe it was in verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. I believe that that does mean that we should give precedence to our brothers and sisters in the church. I believe that. There is witnessing. There is evangelizing. Speaking for and about the gospel. I already mentioned that. But we must make sure that this other is not undone. The opportunities that we have right within our brotherhood. I think it should be something where we look for opportunities because of the love of God that is in our hearts. The love of God that is radiating out from the experience, the regeneration. The love of God in our heart and the change that it wrought in me should make me want to. I should be looking for opportunities to serve him and to represent him. Some of these other things that I talked about are not necessarily always right or wrong. But if we have a healthy view of each of these opportunities, and as we encounter people on a daily basis, I think we will radically impact, may I say, their lives. I believe we will. And then finally, Let's turn to Revelation chapter 3. Read a verse here, and then I want to read a number of verses, kind of in closing in Revelation chapter 4. But finally, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door," there we have it again, open the door, "I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. If you are here today and you have not opened that door to let Jesus come into your life, do it now. Please, do it now. It is the greatest opportunity that you will ever have, a door of opportunity. It is the most important decision that you will ever make, to open that door to let Jesus into your life." Let's turn now to Revelation chapter 4. I'd like to read verses 1 through 11. "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven." I think as we open our door and allow Jesus in, as we go through those doors of opportunity that he has given to us, we will have another door opened to us that is going to be the most amazing entrance that we have ever seen. "A door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with God, which said, 'Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter.' And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle, and the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, 'Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come.' And when these beasts give glory, and when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, 'Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created.'" That is going to be the most magnificent door we will ever go through and encounter. My desire and goal is that I would allow the events in life to become opportunities. Not just events, but an opportunity to display the power of God, display the face of God, display the face of Jesus Christ, faith in Jesus Christ, trust in Jesus Christ. All of us go through things that are difficult at times. We do. And if we can somehow display trust and faith and brokenness in our Savior, it is an opportunity for us to lift up Jesus. There are many things that we face. There are many things that we face as fathers. I thought of that personally in my own life. We need to communicate with our children. We need to communicate with our wife. There are things that at times need oil, if you please. Sometimes we get rusty. This morning, let's make it happen. Let's take that opportunity. We will not always have those opportunities. May God help us to do it right away. Don't dismiss it. Let's kneel for prayer.